Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR, where we talk about all that is sexy in Van City. I'm Caroline McGillivray, and tonight's show is about the Dyke March, and more specifically, Diva's Den, which is happening this Sunday at the legendary Penthouse Nightclub. Oops, and I think my guest just hung up. So we are hopefully going to have my guest on in just one moment, so I'll crank the Motley Crue for a moment. Let's try that again. So welcome into Sexy in Van City Radio, and I think I have my guest this time. We are talking about the fact that Diva's Den is happening this Sunday at the legendary Penthouse Nightclub. And tonight we're going to be talking to Christy Cream, who's one of the performers and organizers for the Diva's Den. And Girls, Girls, Girls just seemed a really appropriate song to start out with. And we're going to be talking about Girls, 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 Girls Meet Girls, the Where, the When, and the How. SX is Safeway, toys, boys, and much more. So welcome, Christy Cream.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's start with the basics. Let's talk about what is the Dyke March?
The Dyke March is an event that is held once a year in Grandview Park. That's the day before the Pride Parade, so it's during Pride Week. And it's an event that it's a march that we start from McSpadden Park, which is just off the drive, and we march up the drive up to Grandview Park, where we hold a three-hour free festival in the park that's open to the public.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And this isn't put on through Vancouver Pride, is it? It's separate?
Yes, it is separate.
Okay.
It's run wholly by volunteers, and it's an organization that has been in operation. So this will be the sixth year this year.
Wow. And you've got Diva's Den, which is one of the events that's going to be raising money for this. Is that right?
Yeah, Diva's Den is an event that the Dyke March inherited the year that it first started.
Okay.
And I've been involved with Diva's Den, performing or playing a role or a body per se in one way or another since the first year they took it over.
You say they took it over. They inherited it. What was it before?
It was always Diva's Den,
okay.
But there was a member on the board by the name of Rebecca Shields, who was one of the founders.
Mm.
And the year that the Dyke March started, she showed the board how to put it together.
Oh.
When she left the board, she left it with them and allowed them to carry it on.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit of if someone was going to Diva's Den, what can they expect to see? Because it's quite titillating, is it not?
Absolutely. The Dyke March historically has always held, one of the ways that it has always raised money from the beginning was to hold burlesque shows.
Okay.
And Diva's Den is an exception to this because it's a strip show that is held at the Penthouse on a Sunday long weekend every year in May. That is a for women, by women. So it's a women-only event, but it's also trans-inclusive.
Okay. And when you say trans-inclusive, is that male to female then?
Yes. If you're female-identified or if you're, feel that you have a presence or a place in the female community, then you're welcome.
Awesome. Well,
unfortunately, it's the only exclusive event that the Dyke March holds, and it would only be effective and it would only be able to carry on as long as that rule is in place. There's a lot of women that come in that are amateurs, and that's the big thing about Diva's Den is it's not 100% professional dancers that you would just always be able to see if you just went to
like Brandy's or Cecil or something.
So a lot of those women, they would not get up there and take off their clothes for an audience if they knew that there were bio boys in the audience. The concept is it's a safe space that's created in order to, encourage women to go up there and be able to let out their voyeuristic side and get lots of entertainment as a result of it.
That sounds really, really fun. And you've got Crystal Precious is emceeing it, who's the diva of the, and I mean that in the one most wonderful way possible, of the Burlesque Festival.
For sure.
She's been doing that for about 5 years now? Or?
Yeah, this will be her fifth year. In her own words, she's one of the biggest sasspots I know.
I was just going to say she's the sassiest sasspot, which is
lovely. Yeah, she's fabulous, and we totally love her, and I hope that, you know, as long as Diva's Den is running, that Crystal Precious will always be a part of it.
And in terms of with women stripping for women, you're mentioning it's always part of Dyke March. So that means Dyke March is around the world. Is that right?
Or? Oh, for sure.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, they're held in many different cities. The one of the originators, Michelle Walker, was the original, one of the founders of the Dyke March here in Vancouver, in the current form that it's in. There was previously another form of Dyke March that was held here years prior, but there was a huge, huge break in between years gone by. And when Michelle was in San Francisco, I believe it was, with her partner, they were just totally blown away by the size and the scope and the feel of the Dyke March that they hold out there. And it's held in many cities throughout the world, for sure. But the difference between those ones and the one that's held in Vancouver is that none of those other ones have a festival that's held at the end.
Where then that way that they can bring all their friends and family and everything.
Yeah,
it's got entertainment.
Sure. Exactly. And then the other piece of it is that this is an event that's open to anyone who wants to come out and support women's sexuality and just, you know, being a dyke. And it's just meant to be celebration and just for support. It's open to families and dogs and just a very open atmosphere. It's not about running around, taking off all your clothes and having your sexuality out there in everyone's faces. It's just more a matter of celebrating the sexuality that you have.
I think that's awesome. Have you found that with the, why stripping in comparison to burlesque? Because you're mentioning that it's the exception in compared to a lot of the other dyke marches in terms of the Diva's Den. Why the transition? Is it because it was inherited or as opposed to going to a burlesque feel?
Honestly, I can't speak to what any other dyke marches would do in terms of fundraising.
Okay.
And the truth is that some of them are very, very low budget because it's strictly a march, because there's no festival, because there's not all the extras that are involved. I know that the dyke march has a pretty much larger budget than some of those other ones because of the fact of the festival. The festival, you know, is... it's a free festival that's held, and, you know, there's lots of costs that go with it. There's the porta-potties, and there's the tent rentals, and there's the sound stage and all the sound equipment that goes with it, and then all the performers as well. They're all professionals.
Yeah, so it's all the unsexy stuff that's behind the scenes, because most people just get to see the result of it.
Right, exactly.
So all the hard work that
the
polished
stuff. And then there's the
city
permits and
wow.
You know, the police presence, and then, you know, you have to pay for the presence of St. John's ambulance and insurance and all that.
So it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot.
To address your question, because the Dyke March knew that they wanted to do it in this form, the question at the beginning of the day was, how are we going to raise money?
Got it.
And they decided to do that by holding burlesque shows, because one of the things was, I know some of the girls had told me back, because I actually have been performing at all the Hot and Hornies, which is what Dyke March called their burlesque shows, since Dyke March started.
Okay.
And I know that the board members were feeling that femmes were underrepresented, the feminine aspect of the gay community, the female community, was underrepresented. And there's lots of drag shows out there, and we love the drag kings, and they're fantastic, but we wanted to see the feminine side represented as well. So we thought, you know, burlesque was making a comeback, and why not have a gay burlesque show?
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Has anybody given any flack to that, or has it, like, at the beginning, was it anything where it was like, why are you doing that? It's not empowering to women or anything like that, or were they pretty excited?
Actually, the burlesque show went over. The burlesque, the Hot and Hornies actually have always gone over pretty well.
Okay.
We didn't get, you know, the Dyke March didn't get a lot of flack. Us performers haven't gotten a lot of flack. I think a lot of people were really happy to see it, actually, because it is very empowering. And if you attend a show, you can see how empowering it is. The great thing is it's not about having a certain body type. It's not about, you know, being a Scarlett Johansson or anything. It's about loving the body, the skin that you're in, and being able to go up there and show your sexuality and take ownership of that, and just that in itself is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's just, it's so attractive to see a woman that can take control of her own body and be proud of it.
And feel confidence.
Absolutely.
Yeah, confidence equals sexy, definitely.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And I know I've done some pole dancing myself in terms of teaching, and it's a really lovely thing watching somebody actually just doing stuff and feeling really, really, really good about it. Other women just getting empowered by watching, where it's like, oh my goodness, she went upside down. That's crazy.
Right.
And just getting really excited. But I'm thinking myself, I should come to this because I might learn a striptease tip or two.
There you go. Actually, Pussy Liquor is going to be doing some lap dances, showing people. She will be doing lap dances at the event, but she's going to be doing some demonstration up on stage at a certain point. And
you might be able to auction those off.
Right. that might be something that we're... That's actually a very good idea. But yeah, just the empowerment of it, it's actually a great confidence boost. It's really actually surprising how much confidence you can build up by, you know, taking ownership and empowering yourself that way.
And I think anything that empowers women is really important. You're a lesbian yourself. How did you come out?
Well, I'm obviously through this conversation and the things that I've done and that sort of thing, I'm obviously not one of those people that's really bashful. And
that's a good thing. You should be. It's not, you know, a bashful has its place, but it's really important to own and be proud of what you are and who you are.
It is. But I have to feel for, you know, the people who aren't as out in your face and upfront as I am.
Okay.
So I was kind of lucky that way. I've just always lived my life in a way of, you know, when I see something, I go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I see something that I want, when I realize that something feels right for me, I do it.
You do it.
Did you always know, though, or
was there certain pivotal points in your life where you realized that you are a lesbian?
Well, there was, in some ways I always knew, but see, when I first came out, I came out as strictly as lesbian.
Okay.
Because... I had a difficult time trying to figure out how I was going to deal with the straight man in my life.
Okay.
And when you admit to a straight man that you are bisexual, they automatically assume that you are into threesomes and multiple partner sex and that they're going to be able to get in on the action.
Got it.
And it's not with everybody, but it happens a lot.
Okay.
So it was a lot easier for me to just say, no, I'm straight lesbian, and that's it, and I don't date men. It's a lot easier to pull that across. And then on the other hand, with the women, if you're trying to kind of immerse yourself or start getting involved in the queer community and start meeting people and that sort of thing, sometimes there's also the other side where some of the women won't accept you because if they think that you are bisexual, then you must just be a straight girl who's bi-curious. And again, that's not to stereotype everybody, because everyone is not like that.
And everybody's different, and it depends on the situation.
Exactly. But when you're a newbie and you're just kind of starting out on the scene and you just want to meet people and that sort of thing, sometimes it's kind of the easier road to take.
Okay.
But when I got involved with Stilettos and Strap-Ons, I'm a fabulous queer femme burlesque troupe that kind of came out of the Hot and Hornies.
Okay.
That was originated by Kay Price. That was some of the stigmatism that we were trying to get over.
I think that's great. And have you found that many people in the community have gotten over that, or is that something that people still battle on a regular basis?
Well,
In your experience.
I kind of just try to surround myself with the types of people who love everyone.
Okay.
So in my mind, I consider myself I don't even like the term bisexual. I just consider myself to be someone who I don't discriminate based on gender.
Okay.
I think it's a matter of who the person is inside, you know, and who this individual is. And everyone is sexy as long as they're beautiful on the inside. So through Stilettos and Strap-Ons, I was able to find like-minded individuals like that. And those are the types of people that I like to surround myself with. So to say if it's better or worse or if people are getting past that, I don't know. I think It's always going to exist in one form or another.
Okay.
But it's just a matter of choosing your company properly.
That's true. Why do you think that is, though?
I think people are afraid. I don't know, where when people are uncomfortable with what someone else chooses to be sexually. I mean, if you're going to judge someone for being bisexual or what have you, for not being completely gay or completely straight, I think there's a little bit of fear there. I mean, I believe in transcendency to the highest form, and I think it's something that everybody needs to evolve to. So, because I'm so blatantly straightforward, sometimes it's difficult for me to understand because it seems so black and white to myself.
Understood.
But I know that people, you know, it isn't black and white, and people have, you know, many different reasons for feeling the way that they feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot to do with their experiences.
That's true. What else was I going to ask in that regard? What type of support, if someone was coming out, would you recommend? What type of steps before they do?
Well, I would start getting to know people who, you know, that are in the community. Start, you know, getting to know people who feel the same way that you do. There are support groups out there. I don't know. I don't have a list in front of me offhand.
It's okay. Vancouver Coastal Health has some wonderful ones.
Yeah, that is actually the perfect place to start.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you wanted to just get out and meet people, I mean, if you were to go to superdyke.com, by example, there's always the women events that are listed there, speaking from the women's side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always events that you can find that you can go and attend just for the purpose of meeting people. It doesn't always have to be going out on the party scene. I know Fly Girl has an event that they hold at the Boathouse a couple Saturdays a month, and it starts off early evening. They have the dinner and that sort of thing. So that's a way to just kind of start meeting people, and just getting the feel from them, and kind of start, you know, get some friends and get yourself a support group and that sort of thing before you necessarily decide to just start outing yourself with the friends and family that you've always had. At least they'll provide a little bit more support that way when you do decide to take that step. And as far as making that step, I mean, it's different for everyone.
Of course.
It's very different for everyone.
Has it improved your life by coming out?
Well, I think I'd have to say yes.
Okay.
I think when I took that step for myself, I decided to empower myself. I made the decision that historically I've always been involved or have a tendency to get involved with people who, I was trying to make myself out to be what they wanted me to be rather than who I really was.
And so, how did you come to that in terms of who you really are?
Yeah, and when I made that choice, I made the decision that from now on I'm just going to be me, and whoever is in my life, whether they're male or female, transgendered, whatever, they have to accept me for all that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, coming out was a way to, it really helped me to establish that.
I think that's really great.
Mm-hmm. And your previous question about whether or not I always knew, I always had, like I said, when I say I believe in transcendency, I think I was always attracted to women, but I never really realized it on a sexual level.
No, that makes sense.
Like, I'm the kind of person that would walk up to a total strange woman long before I was gay or long before I'd come out and just tell her how beautiful she was and how great she looked in this dress that she was wearing or whatever, and, you know, walk down the street with male friends of mine and point out pretty girls and stuff. I never thought anything of it at the time, but
yeah,
you know, sometimes things make a little bit more sense later on down the road.
No, that makes sense. On that note, you've mentioned in terms of with superdyke.com, and there's events obviously like Diva's Den. Another friend of mine mentioned lesbian speed dating, which I thought was interesting. If it's
right.
Speed dating in general, it's got its own pros and cons on that, but that's a whole other show. But what are other ways to meet girls? Besides events? Like, say you were at Starbucks and you saw a cute girl. Like, how can you tell if a woman's into you?
Wow. Geez, you know how long it took me to even to figure that stuff out in the very beginning? I'm so bad at it. I guess you're not always right. Sometimes you can tell, sometimes you can't tell. You could think you know, but you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be really careful about that sort of thing. But I think don't assume.
Okay.
It's bad to assume that someone is, and it's bad to assume that they're not. If you feel, all you can do is just really strike up a conversation with someone and see what kind of rapport you get. And body language and eye contact and, you know, even slight touching of the hand and stuff, you know, very subtle things like that. The same kind of flirting that you do, that heterosexuals do, is the same kind of flirting that homosexuals would do.
I was just going to say social fluency and some of the other dating coaches we've had who actually coach men on how to pick up women actually say a lot of those. The eye contact is really key, watching the body language as well. And just looking for signs, because usually those are the key signs right from the get-go. And even Daniel Packard, who teaches women for his Flirt Fest, really encourages that, where it's keeping the open body language. Because if your arms are crossed, you know, legs crossed, turned away slightly, it usually means a no. Which sometimes, especially in Vancouver, because people say sometimes that Vancouver is just a hard city to meet people, whether or not it be for romantic reasons or whether it be just for regular.
Agreed. but I do find, though, that if a woman is gay, and if she, you know, usually if it's not, if you can make that eye contact and if you get that smile and, and, you know, if that is held, then that's kind of the... You know, you're not necessarily correct. I mean, she could just be a very friendly lady, but that's usually kind of, for me, that would be the first signal without it being, you know, openly, blatantly obvious. Because if you, you know, if you're both gay, then that's the easiest way to let you know without jumping your bones in public, right? So.
And is there the other where sometimes, do you ever meet someone where they, if they find out that, that you like women, that sometimes that they automatically assume that you're going to like them? And have you ever had to battle that one where you're not attracted to them whatsoever?
Another woman?
Yeah, like where it's like, oh, you like women? Well, hey, so do I.
It doesn't happen as often as you might assume, but it does happen. Yeah, sure, it happens sometimes. I mean, but again, the thing is that one of the things I had to learn really early on is you can't stereotype men, women, whatever. The same attitudes you're trying to run from one gender is the same attitudes you're going to find in the other gender in one way or another. Everybody's different. The community has a wide range of personalities. And the same kind of animosity or threats that you might feel in you know, around a bunch of straight guys, you can still find that same attitude and that same feeling of uncomfortableness around certain women.
At the beginning, at the top of the show, you're mentioning in terms of for Diva's Den in specific, one of the reasons it got brought on was because of the fact there needed to be something for the femmes in the community. Can you talk a little bit about femmes and the different types of women, and is it different roles or how that works?
Sure. I think I wish I could remember the Stiletto's motto now. With Stilettos and Strap-Ons, it was our motto to empower and take hold of your femininity, and you know, to be able to wear a short skirt and still be in control and be powerful.
I like that. Evensler's got a piece in the Vagina Monologues about that, actually, where it's my right to wear my skirt, and that doesn't mean that I'm easy, it doesn't mean blah, blah, blah,
but
it's pretty cool, and what we can do is we can take a short break, and when we return, we might start that with the motto right away, because we're going to be talking more with Christy Cream about sex the safe way, as well as what that motto is. So we are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM. We will be right back after this.
I'm music.
For $15, the Friends of CITR card scores you in-store discounts at Beat Street, Red Cat, Vinyl, Scratch, and Audio Pile. Support Vancouver's finest indie radio station and pick up your card today.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. And we are back on Sexy and Van City Radio. And if you're just joining us now, we are talking to Christy Cream from Diva's Den, for which is part a fundraiser for the Dyke March, which is coming up this Sunday, which is going to be very sexy, which if you are a lady and you'd like to come, which I think would be hot because I think everybody likes to come, but especially it's going to be a really, really fun event. We are going to be giving tickets away, so you can either Twitter me at Sexy and Van City, or you can email Kitten at kitten@sexyandvancity.com. And we will make sure that there's tickets for you at the door. You do have to be female or identify as female for those to win those. And I will need to pick that winner before next week's show because the event is on Sunday. So please Twitter, and that will be great. I love social media. So, which on that note, have you found things like Facebook? Has it changed in terms of the girls meet girls, in terms of the community at all?
In the beginning, I've been in Vancouver for 6 years.
Okay.
And when I first moved here, there wasn't Facebook. At least if there was, it was in a very small form. I find Facebook to be much more of a, you know, because Facebook is a little bit more out there because you have friends and, you know, friends and family that have access to all that stuff. So personally, I would never use Facebook as a way to meet girls. But things like the superdyke.com and even Lava Life is another way if you wanted to meet people online.
Mm-hmm.
So admittedly, I found just on a personal basis, I met some good friends that way. But the best way to meet girls for the purpose of meeting girls is really to do it face-to-face.
That makes sense, just in general, because people decide whether or not they like each other within the first 10 seconds they lay eyes on each other.
Yeah, you just don't have that personal touch there. And people can, you know, make themselves out to be someone completely other than who they really are when you're meeting online.
That's true. That is true. It's an interesting thing in terms of online. I think it's good and it's bad. It's good in the sense, obviously, that with things like in regards to sexual harassment at work. People used to meet at work all the time or through friends, religious organizations, and now that churches, the attendance has gone down, work people are fearful of sexual harassment, even though that could be kind of hot, the boss and secretary. But with that, it's... yeah, things have changed. So online's increased, and especially with the recession, because sometimes people don't want to spend that money to go out and meet somebody necessarily. Instead of going to the bar for a night, maybe just they can chat online for free pretty much, except for the cost
right.
for internet. Or if they're at a cafe, they can do it for free.
Well,
offer
I also
a cup
hear
of
that there's a lot. There's some gains. There's some positive things to be said, I hear, for the matchmaking sites, the matchmaking companies.
Matchmaking.
And actually, to be now that we have to be on that subject, I don't know of any gay matchmaking sites or anything like that for women. I don't know if there are for men, but I would think that if they exist, they'd be for both. But I would think that would be a pretty good way to meet people, though. Again, it depends on the pool that you have to work with, right?
I may have to ask my friend who told me about the lesbian speed dating to see who put that on and see if they're putting on any more events, because that could be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I should go into business for myself.
There you go.
Want to go with me? Partnership. You heard it right here on Sexy and Van City Radio first. Which on that note, let's talk about sex.
All right. Always a good subject.
It is. It's a very hot subject, which we all love. So in terms of sex with women in general, obviously there's different ways to do things, like obviously things like kissing, you know, tasting, touching, all of that is really, really important. What are some tips you'd recommend?
Well, tips, holy. I guess it depends on which areas you're talking about.
I think it depends. I don't know if it's anything like, in terms of, I've never been with a woman myself, but I know if I'm teaching a man how to touch me properly, mm-hmm. I usually actually will, I'm pretty tantric in a lot of ways, so I'll actually sit cross-legged across them, match my breathing patterns to them, and it may seem really silly, but I'll actually get them to flip their wrist over. And I'll actually use my pointer finger and draw really lightly with my fingernail in tiny little circles, exactly like how I like, about the exact pressure, how much I like being touched. So then that way, when they get to that part of my anatomy, they are pretty much know what they are doing to a degree. So it's not so much guesswork, and it makes things really, really simple.
Those tips are fantastic, and they would work just as well with women.
Thank you.
Oh, for sure. That's awesome. Okay. I had never even thought of it of doing it that way. I think as far as that aspect of it goes, with women, I find they have a tendency to get it a little bit quicker because they know what, you know, they obviously know to a degree what they're doing. But I mean, like your example, everybody is different, right? And everybody's pressure points are different, and how hard or how soft they want it, and whether they like hard sex or they like rough sex or they like, you know, soft sex. It has to do with the individual.
That's true. The other thing, too, is just making sure, I guess. Do you find it's different if it's with younger women? And when I say younger, I mean basically about 18 to about 23 or so, where they're still exploring their sexuality, even though we explore it all through our lifetime, but as opposed to, say, a woman in her
30s? Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, where sometimes
comes
it's like
with experience, right?
That's true. Where, yeah, that's nice. Or those conversations where it's like, I think I had an orgasm. I'm not quite sure if I had one. I think I did. I think she made me have an orgasm. And it's like, no, honey, you didn't. Either you did or you didn't. You know it.
Right.
It's like love. Either you are or you aren't.
Right.
Yeah, even though I wish to goodness I could explain exactly what that feels like. Because I remember when I was 16 asking all of my friends, how does that feel when you have an orgasm? So I could figure it out so that I'd know. But when it actually does happen, you really do know, listeners out there.
Yes, you do, for sure.
Yeah.
I just find with the younger girls, and again, with the, it comes with experience, and where they say young girls, young boys, regardless of who the sex is with, if they're younger, their scope is usually more limited. Not always the case, but usually, you know, like, you know, their bag of tricks is usually a little bit smaller.
That makes sense, because I haven't learned yet.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some things that they might be able to play with in terms of sex girls with girls?
Things to play with. Oh, well, you can imagine it. You could probably do it. I mean, one of the great things about having sex with women is, you know, when a man says, why would you want to have sex with another girl? And they say, well, you know, why do you? and then when they say, well, then you don't get, you know, you don't get the cock action, you don't get the penis. And it's like, well, actually, we can have anything we want.
That is true.
For sure. So, it depends on what you're interested in. I mean, you can, you know, there's...
I think it's
the thing about women having sex with women is to not assume that there's no internal action going on. Some people think that if you're gay, that you're not supposed to have
that. It's all about the clit.
If there's penetration, then you're not actually gay. One of my lesbian friends pointed out to me one time, said that only means that you're very boring in bed.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all clit action.
No, and if you, my tips on, you know, if you decided to go and get yourself some toys of any sort, if you're thinking about doing the dildos or the vibrators and that sort of thing, again, it's important to educate yourself on what it is that you're using and how to properly use it. For example, using a vibrator is really not something that's meant for penetration. You can actually hurt yourself. It's very hard.
Yeah, definitely. If you're using for penetration in terms of a dildo, making sure it's one that's specifically for a harness, if you are going to use it, or if it's a double-headed one. One of the best things to do is perhaps going to Women's Wear on the Drive, which is a great shop in terms of that. Art of Loving on the West Side as well.
The Kiss Store.
Yes, and Honey as well, where usually the clerks are fairly well informed in terms of and have a lot of tips to offer. And there's so many different things that you can play with that. The actual penetration, things like anal beads, all sorts of different toys. It's almost best to maybe just go for a walk with your partner. Maybe it could be a date. And
for sure.
Playing with things. If you are trying with vibrators, make sure you test it on your nose, because there's a lot of nerve endings there. So just to make sure, if it feels too strong for your nose, it's not going to feel very good in other parts of your anatomy.
Another good tip.
Thank you. And in regards to toys, one of the main things, and I know I talk about safe sex a lot, and I think it's really important, is dental dams are really, really, really important. Which for that, it's basically a piece of latex, and I believe you can get other types as well. I wish Julia was here, who's our sex educator. And with that, in terms of that, which basically covers everything, and it's really important to hold it in place. If you're performing oral sex, what's best to do is to get a lubricant, make sure it's one that's not glucose-based, so it doesn't cause any bacterial infections or anything like that. We can put a little bit underneath the dental dam, as well as on top. So, and that way you can have a flavored one if you'd like on top, which could be fun. And if you are using a dental dam, make sure that you don't flip it over. It's just like
defeats
a regular condom. Yeah, pardon me?
It defeats the purpose.
It totally defeats the purpose. So with that, you want to make sure, one of the tips I found online, which I thought was interesting, is actually putting a pen mark on one side. Make sure you don't puncture it, but
right.
At least that way you can mark it, and so you know that's the side that's up in terms of that. And actually, even if it's a male-female relationship and you're performing oral sex, it's good to be safe, because for sexually transmitted infections, things like herpes, gonorrhea, syphilis, all sorts of different things. It's just it's really important in terms of the fluid. You just want to protect, and of course, obviously HIV. Hep C, all that stuff.
It's amazing the number of people would never even think of that. Oh, you know, I thought dental dams were just for lesbians. Well, it's still oral sex.
It is oral sex. And, I mean, I can't tell you, like, I believe it's 1 in 5, I'll have to double check my stats on that, people in North America who have some form of herpes. And sometimes it's one of the, on Planned Parenthood in the States, on their website, what they recommended in terms of safe sex is one of the safest ways to do it is obviously having the same, you know, one partner, having a monogamous relationship, which is great. But sometimes STIs like herpes, sometimes people, it's undiagnosed. Because there's no symptoms, and it's very, very difficult to diagnose if you don't have symptoms. So with that, it's really important just to practice safe sex in general.
Of course. Always. Everything is on the rise, and it goes in waves as far as people's education levels, and, you know, becoming complacent and assuming it won't happen to you is not the way to prevent things from happening.
That's so true. And even if you're playing with toys, which can be really fun, if you're not purchasing your toys with your partner, say you're having fun one night and you're over at somebody's place and you get to play with their toy box, pun intended, in regards to that, if you're playing with their vibrators or their dildos, make sure that you've got condoms as well.
Absolutely.
Which condoms are really, really important, which if you don't have a dental dam, you can actually use a condom and you can actually cut the tube at the top off. And just slice it. So that will be a makeshift one. There are female condoms as well that do cover most of the area, but with that, they do, just to give you a heads up, they do make a really strange rustling noise. It's like having sex with a garbage bag. Which, on that note, you can actually use microwavable saran wrap if you're ever in a pinch and you really need to figure stuff out. And last but not least, in terms of with the dental dams, make sure you use a separate one. It'd be like having sex where you wouldn't use a condom twice. So why would you use a dental dam twice? So chuck it out after you finish with it. And if you are going from front to back to front, make sure you're using a different dental dam for each one.
Yes.
So it protects.
You had so many good points, I totally forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay. I've been chatting quite a bit in regards to that.
Oh, I know. Per Caroline's suggestions here, people should be taking notes, because if you go into a pharmacy and you're looking for a dental dam, they're not easy to find, and when you do find them, they're not cheap.
We can't really talk about prices on here, but I was wondering about that because I've never noticed them in whenever I've bought condoms or anything like that.
Right. They're difficult to find. They mm-hmm. really are. It's very surprising how society and the industry in general doesn't give enough attention to it.
It's scary.
It is. So people really should take note and learn how to make them yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and if you are using toys and you have used condoms, you've been a really, really good girl. You deserve spanks for that, which is good. But, and again, this goes with heterosexual couples too, because people do use toys regardless. I think it enhances the sex life as well, as long as there's not communication with your partner. Making sure you're cleaning them properly. So check when you're buying them with whoever's. And check online as well, just making sure that some of them you do need to boil. It depends on what material they're made of. So making sure. But condoms are usually a nice, safe way to do that.
And buying the proper cleansers that are not going to eat away at your toy.
Definitely. Oh, and if you do end up using a condom where you've had to slice it up, make sure that it's not one with spermicide on it. One of the women from Women's Wear actually told me that it's got Noxil 9 on it, which actually cleans barnacles off boats, which you can only imagine, both for heterosexual as well as girls who like girls. It's whatever. Just making sure that you take care of yourself. So I like, yeah. My body just clenched up with that one. It just seems so painful. So in regards to Diva's Den, in regards to that, so obviously they can buy tickets at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Can they buy them in advance, and where can they get them?
You can get them at Little Sisters. Coco Pelly's has some, and you can get them online if you go to the Dyke March website, which is www.vancouverdykemarch.com.
And are there any more volunteers or anything that you're going to need for Sunday?
I think we have under control. I think they've got most of the bodies that they need at this point. You can still get your tickets at the door, though. They're 13 in advance or 15 at the door. So even if you don't purchase them, you know, from wherever in advance, you just show up. The doors open at 7, and the show starts at 8 or shortly thereafter.
And it does get packed in there.
Mm-hmm. You can get pretty busy. So you want to get there early and get a good seat.
No, it's true. What else was I going to ask you in regards to that? So what's next for Christy after this? What's next for you?
You know, Christy's not too sure. She's kind of been on a bit of a hiatus since this time last year. Actually, the last time I performed was at Diva's Den last year.
Wow.
Well, I was in the previous 5 years, I had performed in about 30 or 35 shows, somewhere along the lines between all of the hot and hornies and all of the stilettos and strap-ons. We had made it, you know, we did a little bit of, you know, we had gotten invited to the Whistler, the Gay Winter Pride in Whistler, and we were invited to San Francisco to perform for the L Word, a big L Word gala for Curve Magazine.
Oh, that's great.
So we did a bunch of things like that, and just by this time last year, I was pretty burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been kind of taking a little bit of a break. I'm thinking about doing another show, seeing if the Dyke March would be willing to do an event, let me put on an event for them sometime in the next couple of months. Just in talks right now, but people should just keep their eyes open and see if the see what comes out of that.
Well, let's hope that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, there seems to be a lot of banging around here, and it's not the sexy kind of banging, so I'm not sure if that's being heard over the sound waves or not.
I can hear a little bit of it.
I can hear the banging. I've heard laughter, and I've heard banging, and I'm wondering what is going on in the other room if they're having an orgy. I thought they were just recording something, but you never know.
Carolyn, do you think your listeners would be interested in hearing a little bit of tips on in terms of if they decided to get a little bit more experimental in the bedroom?
I think that would be lovely if we could do just and we could wrap up the show with that for just the next couple minutes. That would be great.
Sure. So one of our performers in Diva's Den is Pussy Liquor, and she has been, this will be her third year performing in the show, I believe, possibly her fourth. She's fantastic. If you're going to come to see anybody, you want to come see her. besides Krispy Kreme.
That sounds awesome. Lady Mystique is always one of my faves.
Oh, yeah. Lady Mystique, I mean, our lineup is always great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who else do we have? We have Aquarius and Malevolent and Miss Valentine just was a new one that we, Vanessa Valentine.
I'm sure you've got lots of great people. Yeah. I want to hear these sexy tips.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So anyway, the reason I mentioned Pussy Liquor is because she gave me a fabulous little workshop on this a couple of years ago, and these were some of her starter tips. So if you're interested in trying out a little bit of BDSM in the bedroom and you're thinking about tying up your partner and trying cuffs and rope and all that sort of stuff, this is a checklist, small little checklist of things to start out with. So one of the tips is if you're thinking about doing cuffs, handcuffs are really more something that's for show. It's not something that you want to really be using in the bedroom if you're really actually thinking about getting into some BDSM type experimenting. So something that's better to be used is leather cuffs or rope.
That makes sense.
Yes. Because
it's a little softer.
Yeah. Softer.
I've cut my wrists on those before.
Yes, absolutely.
For Halloween, of all things.
Oh, for sure. And if you misplace the keys, you're kind of screwed. If you put the cuffs on too tightly, you could totally cut off someone's circulation. You could just end up in a very dangerous situation. So cuffs, leather cuffs or rope, and you have to have a pair of scissors handy as well so that you can cut them off if need be.
And unless you're planning to pick up a paramedic on the way.
Exactly.
And have a threesome with them.
Right.
It just may not be the same day.
It's never been done, but... and if you're going to be, whatever you decide to partake in, you should discuss it in advance so that both people know what it is that you plan on doing.
Communication's
key. There shouldn't be any major surprises.
Mm-hmm.
If you discuss things in advance, people are much more comfortable. You have the trust set up. Spontaneity, has its place and that sort of thing, but with this type of experimenting, you kind of got to figure out the generalities of what you're doing in advance. So what's really important is to have a safe word so that if something is happening, someone's not comfortable with it, they thought they would be, but suddenly they're not, you say that safe word and the person knows, okay, it's time to quit, go on to the next thing or what have you.
No, that's really key.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And if you decide to partake in candles... Krispy Kreme.
Are we talking about wax?
Yes, wax. If you decide to use wax, Krispy Kreme speaks with experience when she says, do not ever, ever, ever use birthday candles.
Oh.
Very, very bad wax to be using. It's very high intensity, very high heat. So emergency candles are not bad to use. Something that's not made of that same type of material as birthday candles, something that doesn't burn as quickly. And when you do it, if you're going to be dripping wax on, hot wax on your partner, make sure that it's something they want. But hold it far enough away from the skin that it has time to cool before it lands, again, so that you're not burning them or scalding them. Because, again, Krispy Kreme knows this from experience. One of those bad choices we made at a Hot and Horny show years ago, and we learned pretty quickly that what not to do.
I love it.
Yeah, it was great. So... and then to end it all, for one thing, you can go to, if you go online and you go and search for some BDSM checklists, mm-hmm. there's a much more well-informed checklist that you can find there, much more thorough and complete.
And they can definitely check out, I know Julie and I, when we did Juicebox, which if you go to sexyandvancity.com on the CITR website, you can actually pull that up as well, which has awesome. Some great stuff.
There you go.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Sure. And one last tip. When you're finished doing one of these sessions, do ask your partner and yourself, to swap back and forth. Mention two things that you liked and one thing that you didn't.
Nice.
And remember it for next time.
I think that's awesome.
For sure.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And listeners, I hope you are writing in to kitten@sexyinvancity.com or twittering @sexyinvancity. On Twitter, which is a very lovely, lovely, lovely tool. And we will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock as Hans von Claus is in the room right now. I can feel the heat on my back, which is really, really super hot. And I can't wait to turn around and see what shoes he's got on because he is an absolutely amazing, lovely, sexy thing. So until next week, we will be right back. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That. I know what that is. That. That's music.
For $15, the Friends of CITR Card scores you in-store discounts at Beat Street, Red Cat, Vinyl, Scratch, and Audio Pile. Support Vancouver's finest indie radio station and pick up your card today.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.